All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, we know about the staples right now of the sports calendar, baseball in full swing, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, and up here we're in tune with all of that, and then the NFL draft just ended. But now, coming up tomorrow, we get one of the biggest days in sports, and it just feels like it sneaks up on me every year. The Kentucky Derby going on tomorrow, Churchill Downs, and it's a wide-open race. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Barry Abrams, who covers horse racing for ESPN. Barry, how are you?
Excellent. It's the best week of the year, with all due respect to Burl Ives in December.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And look, I used to live in Albany. I used to go up to Saratoga all the time, and it ended up like the old Flintstones mantra, don't bet on the races, because I never won anything. So kind of tell me, as we go into to looking at horse racing, what's kind of handicapping 101? What should I be looking for?
Well, the first thing is, you have 20 horses in the Kentucky Derby. That is more than any other race in North America. So the number one issue is traffic. It's not the best horse who wins that often. It's the one who gets the best trip and reaches the finish line first. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who's going to get the best trip? It could be the favorite. Justify is his name. It was a couple of years ago with Nyquist, named after a hockey player, as you know, and he had a dream trip and won the race as the favorite, but it doesn't always happen that way. So that's really the number one thing you got to ask yourself, is who's going to get the cleanest trip, and sometimes you just can't plan that till the gate opens.
As a result of that, kind of along that same lines, what about the start position? How much does a horse's start position impact its ability to get out of that traffic?
Well, in this race, it matters a lot. You know, down the road when we get to Belmont, to the Belmont Stakes, probably not as much, because there usually aren't as many horses, and Belmont Park is a much, much bigger track with wider sweeping turns. It's the difference between making a right turn on a local street versus a highway. So there it's probably not as big a deal, but here it's a big deal because you got 20 horses bottlenecking into that first turn. It'll be strung out by the time you get to the final turn, but that's a big issue here. Some horses, and they don't talk, they tell you what they think with their actions. Some horses just do not like being crowded. Some would much rather be in the clear. So, you know, while you look at horses on the far outside from, say, the 19 or 20 post, and you say, well, they obviously have the longest trip around the track, but they're also going to be out in the clear. And sometimes that makes a difference. It's, you know, horse-specific, it's case-specific. That's how they tell you, is by how they run.
You mentioned Justify being the favorite, and we have some very intellectual listeners. We get a text in from Rob on the Town Fair Tire text line, who says, ask Barry, please, what do we make of the fact that Justify has only run against small fields before? Does that impact his ability to win?
That's a very big deal to me. That's a good question, because that's like basically taking Sam Darnold, putting him on the Jets after 1 year of college and no high school ball. You know, very talented athlete, but he just hasn't been seasoned. Now, if he gets a dream trip, which he might, just as Nyquist did a couple of years ago, it might not make a difference. But, you know, as the former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson used to say, everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. And this horse really hasn't been. He's had three essentially public workouts that were called races. So what happens when he gets hooked? Is he tough enough? He might be. He might be. But I would need to see it before I think, yeah, he's going to win this race.
And Justify is a Bob Baffert-trained horse. And so we look at some of the big trainers, you look at Bob Baffert, and you look at Chad Brown, historically has had a really good run here in a lot of big races. Is it that simple when we pick who the winner is going to be? We're looking at trainers first and foremost?
No, not necessarily. I mean, there is obviously something to it. I mean, Chad Brown of Mechanicsville, New York, not far from Saratoga, as the trainer of the year, won the Eclipse Award this past year. More known for horses that win races on grass, but he did train the winner of the Preakness last year, Cloud Computing. So he's certainly starting to make a name for himself running horses on dirt. And the Kentucky Derby is, of course, a dirt race. Bob Baffert is an interesting case, because one of his close friends is the Olympic ski champion, Bodie Miller. And Bodie is, you know, trying to become a trainer himself. Well, last year, Bodie Miller had a long shot horse in the Kentucky Derby who didn't finish very well. I asked him, why didn't you go in on one of the horses Bob Baffert trains? He's your guy. He named a horse after you, Bodie Meister, who finished second in the Kentucky Derby back in 2012. And this from coming from a champion athlete, Bodie Miller said, I can't play in that end of the pool, meaning money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where you need that. There's a reason Bob Baffert gets these horses. You know, if you're going to play in his yard, you better bring a lot of money. Now, that doesn't always mean his horses win, but over the course of time, you know, that usually means he's getting better quality stock.
How does it work with the jockeys? We're talking with Barry Abrams, the ESPN horse racing analyst here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Yeah, how does it work with jockeys? Because we see jockeys, you know, at Saratoga, I'm always looking for the Castellano horse or the Velasquez horse. And one day they're riding this trainer's horse, the next day they're riding that trainer's horse. How do the jockeys pick where who they're going to ride?
Well, they have agents, much like you, because you're a fancy media person. I'm sure you have a big-time agent.
Not now.
And their agents are the ones that are making these relationships with all these trainers. But remember, all these people are independent contractors. So in the races, if you watch today at Churchill Downs and tomorrow on Derby Day, you know, one race, John Velasquez will be riding for trainer Todd Fletcher. The next race, he'll be riding against him. That's just the way it works. You don't necessarily have that mindset when you watch stick and ball sports. But here, everybody's an independent contractor. And, you know, it's happened even in the Kentucky Derby. Not that, you know, happens all the time where you play musical chairs. I mean, back in 2011, John Velasquez was supposed to ride Uncle Mo in the Kentucky Derby, and Robbie Alvarado was supposed to ride Animal Kingdom. Robbie Alvarado breaks his nose on Wednesday. He can't ride. And then the day before the Derby, Uncle Mo comes down with a fever and he has to be scratched. So John Velasquez hops aboard Animal Kingdom for trainer Graham Motion, riding against Todd Fletcher, with whom he's had this 24-year relationship of unparalleled success. And Velasquez beats him in the Kentucky Derby with Animal Kingdom. That's just how it goes.
We'll get you out of here on two more questions. Thought of rain coming in tomorrow in Louisville, and reminds me of the Seinfeld clip. So I've got the Flintstones in one end and the Seinfeld clip in the other, where he goes, his mother was a mutter.
You can never go wrong with that.
No, his mother was a mutter. His father was a mutter. So what happens in the rain tomorrow?
Well, we haven't seen too many of these prep races run on off conditions, just by happenstance. There just haven't been many races on the Kentucky Derby trail that have been run in the rain. So it's an absolute unknown for most of these horses, especially the ones in California. They didn't run at all on anything other than a dry, fast track. So there's practically no way, except maybe breeding, to say who has any chance. But even that is an absolute, you know, shooting at ducks in a barrel in the dark. So you can't really worry about the rain until it gets there. Now, last year, Thunder Snow, who was a terrific horse coming over from Europe trying this race, on an off track, absolutely freaked when the gate opened. He wanted no part of running on an off track. And he had a terrific year after that running in Europe. But that day on that track, he wanted no part of it. You can't predict that. So there really is no data on which to go with that.
And how about value in this race? Everybody's looking for the long shot. I saw one horse that started at like 80-1. It's now down to like 7-1 or something like that. Where is there a long shot value?
Well, the horse that I think is going to win, depending on whether you consider 8-1 to be long shot, is Bolt D'Oro, whose father was Medaglia D'Oro, meaning gold medal.
Yeah.
And Bolt is named for the sprint champion, the Olympic sprint champion, Usain Bolt. Bolt finished second to Justify in the most recent start, the Santa Anita Derby, and Bolt D'Oro earned a power rating for that race. Every horse in North America earns a power rating for every race that they run. His power rating finishing second would have won every other prep race on the Kentucky Derby trail. I think he has more experience than Justify, which I think will serve him well here, and I think he turns the tables on Justify and wins. Now, if you're looking for bombs away here to try to make some money. There are a few that I think maybe don't win, but could come in for minor awards, like second or third place. Hofberg, who goes from number 9, comes in here for trainer Bill Mott, the winningest trainer in the history of Churchill Downs, but one who doesn't bring that many horses to the Derby. He hasn't run a Derby starter in, I think, 9 years. So even though this horse is very lightly raced, only 3 starts, like Justify, although one of them came last year, I don't discount any horse that Bill Mott brings here. Another one that has a chance, I would say, is right next to him in number 10, and that name is My Boy Jack for the brother tandem of Keith and Kent DeSormo. Again, this horse has been competitive. He'll come from way out of it. And if the pace is fast and the front runners get tired, which they very well could, My Boy Jack will be coming hard at the end and could, depending on the trip he gets, you know, come up for a minor reward. And if you're looking for a real bombs away, and this is just a gut instinct to me, on the far outside, and we were talking about the far outside, is a horse named Combatant for trainer Steve Asmussen, the second leading trainer of all time by Money One. He looked pretty decent in his races in Arkansas, and it seems like almost every year there's this horse that comes out of nowhere to finish second, whether it was Closing Argument in 2005, who finished second at 72-1. There were a couple of 30-1 horses in the last few years that finished second. So if you're looking for one of those on just a hunch, Combatant is one you might want to pay attention to.
Well, you mentioned all the horses. No Gronk, though. No Gronk in the field.
Belmont. He'll be at Belmont.
All right, well, that's good. But we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby, but we know that Barry Abrams is all win, place, and show in our book. Barry, we appreciate the time.
Anytime. Thanks so much.